You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Hooray! Delicious Volume 1, Life Tastes Good, is finally at Amazon, United States. What is delicious, you ask? Imagine a land where all your favorite foods live as human girls. Here in charming a la carte, under the floating city of heavenly delight, we meet Ramen, a young cook trying to run a restaurant with her family of pastas as they end up in all sorts of wacky adventures and hijinks as these strong, eccentric characters pursue their dreams and passions. Delicious is a beautifully drawn comic comedy series, which is now finally available to buy in the United States. Click on the banner on One of Us, order today, and join in the fun now, because Delicious Volume 2, Yum Yum Yum, is coming really soon. A perfect gift for your child, or those of you who are forever young at heart. One of Us strongly recommends this one.
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, depending on what time you listen to this. I'm Chad Halverson. This is the Screener Squad. Today I got TC DeWitt and Luane White with us. And how you doing, you two?
I'm all right. This is a weird voice to choose to discuss this movie where...
We're going to talk about racism.
Yeah. What if January 6th worked? Here we go.
Yeah, it's not even subtle.
Literally, that flyer at the end says the J6 authorities.
Well, one of the like fascist checkpoint guards has a J6 patch. So yeah, it's
well. Just to be clear, this is not a pro January 6th movie. It's an alternative sci-fi look at what a world would look like. Just in
2045, I believe.
Yeah.
Sorry.
As opposed to next year,
you're running this riot. Insurrection. I mean this gentle protest.
Yeah. So guys, it's 2045, and there's a crypto fascist government out there that really loves its guns and its Jesus, hates minorities unless you're one of them minorities that pledges yourself to us. But we're not going to call you by your full name. We're just going to call you by your last name, because even though you've come into our fold, we're still going to treat you differently, because that's how racism works.
Mm-hmm. A convert.
The short version of, like, at least the cold open to this is a freedom fighter, you know, as Sarah Connor, but for, you know, fighting a fascist regime. She's taken out of jail, reunited with her family. Her daughter doesn't know who she is. Her husband's like, oh, I miss you so much. And then there's this. And again, I guess the symbolism and the metaphors are kind of easy. like this Underground Railroad.
Harriet Tubman.
Thank you. Jesus Christ. Awful lot of honkies on this podcast. Anyways, Harriet Tubman-esque character is leading this family to safety, essentially. So they stop at this old house. And this house is creepy.
It's supposed to be haunted, which is not the worst place to hide. Like, if it's a place that people are afraid to go to.
For sure. Look, it makes sense on paper. I guess what doesn't make sense about this movie is...
the rest of it?
I feel like, again, we're at the mercy of a movie that was more meatier. As far as, like, story-wise, because there were so many jumps in this movie where it totally shifted, and it just felt like, oh, well, we got to get this thing to 97 minutes. I didn't hate this movie, nor did I love it. I thought parts of it worked very well, and then I thought parts of it dragged, or parts of it was just very surface level, like, oh, yeah, no duh.
I'm right there with you.
Like, I'm hovering between like a C minus and a B minus and a C plus. Like, I don't know what the middle is there. It could have been a lot more. I dug the premise. I don't necessarily understand why it needed to be in this futuristic world.
I'm right there with you that there, it is this weird balancing act happening where there's a lot of good stuff happening here. The building of tension in a lot of these scenes, there are scares with visions of ghosts and really creepy imagery. And it's never a jump scare. It's a slow scare where you're like literally watching the thing approach in the background, waiting for the character to see it. They have good use of sound design, good use of cinematography. This has a film. I think it was filmed on film because there's even like dust in the export. You can see some film grain happening here. I could be wrong. That could just be a filter or what have you. But there is a lot of interesting, spooky, tension-fueled things happening here. But it leaves too much unanswered. And while it's very clear what some of the things are, where it's like, yeah, no kidding. I'm not dumb. I see what you're talking about here. Cool. Text. Some of the subtext is like, let's see how, oh no, you're not gonna, okay, then why and how and, okay, now I'm,
initially I was like, really? Is the husband of the freedom fighter in his conversations with his drinking buddy. Initially I was like, that's super weird, but then I'm like, but no, that's how that works. Right. Like that's how you make that transition. It's not all like, hey, let's go out to the rally and burn us some crosses. Like,
I hated that at first.
Yeah. You slowly indoctrinate someone. You slowly poison the guy's mind.
And I'm like, okay, that was smart. There were other sort of weird things that whatever. There's a bit at the checkpoint where I'm like, I haven't handled a lot of corpses, but it feels like you'd notice the difference between a live person and a dead one if you were to touch them skin to skin. And since you went out of your way to show me he's not wearing gloves, he clearly did that. But okay, whatever. I'm going to let it go because otherwise the movie stops right here and everybody gets shot. But there's just little weird things. The radio discipline sucks. Like,
yeah,
it's all terrible. Every communication, I'm like, hi, we're right here. We're a group of freedom fighters waiting for our pickup. Is somebody going to come get us? Like, no, man.
I was monitoring the stations earlier, and guess what I found out, guys? Send the drones out.
I'm like,
oh, yeah, and the drone. That's a freaking DJI-inspired, yeah. 2 with red lights attached to it.
I knew you were going to be like, yo, come on, really?
drone power. I heard it, too. Drone nerd. They use the actual sound, yes, that it makes, too, like the right pitch and everything.
This is what I want to pitch this as, if this is going to try to entice people as we further the conversation here. This is what I think the movie thinks it is, or at least was attempting to do. This is Redneck The Shining.
Okay.
I think that it was attempting to create this Kubrick level of fear and spooks and horror where it's like inexplicable stuff and very haunting stuff. And also like, what do you think it means? Unfortunately, where the pastiche of any Kubrickisms are in here, what's missing is the very clear answers that a filmmaker like Kubrick has when he deliberately misdirects an audience or he crafts something. It's like, this doesn't make sense to me, but it's clear that it makes sense to the filmmaker. And therefore the answers are somewhere in here. And that's where this movie falls short, is a lot of these setups have no payoffs, or at least no satisfying ones.
Big thing for me was the manufactured tension between the husband and the wife in the drinking buddy, where he's like, you know, he invites him in. It's like, hey, have some pie. You know, we're just chilling. I'm going to say a casual Briar Rabbit story and whatever. But then all of a sudden, the next time they meet, he's like, hey, you know, aren't wives just bitches? You know, like it goes from 0 to 100, and there's no, and then all of a sudden he's just mad at his wife because he's, thinking this, and I'm like, there was no point before that where it looked like they were having any marital strife. You know what I mean? Like, she's the leader of this freedom fighting regime, the resistance, which very original. He seemed like not complacent, but he seemed like to accept what his role was, mostly as a dad,
right?
Which I thought was cool.
Well, yeah, because he's the one taking care of the kid while she's in jail. So, like, that's his job at this point.
Yeah, why resent that?
Right.
Why resent that she is this freedom fighter? And yeah, the turn in his character is so sudden and unexplained, where it's like, maybe if there's a little more time to develop that, the idea is sound that this guy would go Jack Torrance on her. It just happens so clunkily.
And I think that they could have not shown the hood when he's finding the pipes, because you open basically with that as they're trying to fix the pipes. So, you know, somebody who lived there was in the Klan. But if that doesn't show up until near the end, after he's been having this conversation with this guy, and it's like, hey, I've got just the thing for you, clunk.
Yeah, I think less of really trying to hint at what was to come in the beginning would have been better.
Well, and I think the other problem we have is that a lot of these characters feel stereotypical, but that's because parody is basically dead now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know what I freaking loved? So it's the freedom fighter, Jackie Cruz played Allegra.
Mm-hmm. Marisol from Orange is the New Black, for those who would like to place her face, because as soon as I saw her, I was like, I know who that is, but who is it?
Paul Wesley played the husband, Ron.
Captain Kirk from current Star Trek. Yeah.
I felt the kid underwhelming, but you know, I'm not going to blame a kid for being in this and not being great. Kid's a kid.
Well, and then Trudy or whatever, the person who's leading their little underground railroad trip, just disappears for like swaths of the movie. She's just there and then she's not, and she's gone and she's not, and there's never anything made of it. And I'm like, okay, this goes back to the radio discipline and some of the other stuff.
Yeah. Again, I have a feeling, and based on nothing that I wish filmmakers are a lot smarter than they look when their stuff's put on camera. But I really think they had to cut a lot out of this. There's no way I would look at this script and see all these jumps in time and be like, wait, what? Like, there's no way. And I'm just going to pretend that that's the gospel truth. So.
Which is better than mine, which is, hey, we found this creepy house. We could probably shoot a movie here. How fast can we knock a script out? I'm going to go with yours, because that feels like they made deliberate choices that just didn't work.
That big giant tree, too, with the hanging shreds of black vinyl or black
mylar or whatever.
Mylar, yeah, like that was such, again, another moment where I'm like, I get it, but I feel like you're playing your hand too far ahead. You know what I mean? That tree should have been in the backyard, and that should have been found in the second act, not like rolling up to it right in the middle of the first act.
There's another one like that where they're the mom's playing cards with the kid, and she's like, how do you keep getting these? The little boy behind you keeps telling me. Oh, there it is. we honestly didn't need two of the horror elements that exist in this. The one guy that we interact with would have been sufficient.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just one of these situations of close, but no cigar. There's a lot here that we said this up top that works, but when you start stepping back and looking at what isn't working, it starts harming the movie. I was surprised by the look of this movie being on Shudder, because Shudder tends to have a little more on the schlock side than the quality side. Just from a visual standpoint, I was impressed by the cinematography. I was impressed by the camera work. There's a lot of long takes to help build tension. It's a great way to manufacture tension, is if you hold on a shot for too long, which is a Kubrickism, and which is where I started with some of the very thin overlap of the Venn diagram of like, oh, okay, a house in the middle of nowhere, a husband, wife, and daughter with a companion of sorts, a slowly unraveling mind. There's some overlap there, and it's the look of this movie that I think is the best part of this movie.
I'd say look and the post-production too. It was a whole house that did it out of L.A. must be like a small indie house, but you know, they did everything from cutting it to, you know, all the sound design, the song that's in this that eventually the guy starts singing, that's all made for this movie. So
yeah,
definitely kudos to the post-production team.
It's just, it really is like right there, like I could,
it's so close.
so many good pieces of it. I've compared to The Shining, that's putting these two in, they're in two different leagues, so I don't want you to hear this and think you're going to get something at the Kubrick level. I hope I've been clear about that. If I could compare this to anything more recently, 3 years ago was a movie called His House on Netflix, which was this extraordinary horror movie that had some incredible subtext within the text, some really masterful camera and production design. And there's some similarities in that regard, but where this movie falls short, that movie succeeded on every level. I know it's not fair to compare a movie to another movie, but that's what I'm doing right now. And I wish this could have been better, because I feel like there was a lot of good stuff here on the table. It just didn't quite lock into place as well as I wish it could have.
Another good, because this, at the credits at the end, this was made in 2022, so probably shot it in 21. Another Coven movie, you know, which makes sense. Small cast, one location. Not one of the worst ones that we've seen out of the Coven era, but right up the middle for me. But let's do final thoughts.
We've talked about what works and what doesn't, and it's almost there. Like it needed a little, I don't know, a little fiddling yet that just didn't happen for whatever reason. So I'm going to give this, two water bottles. That's all we have out of five.
Yeah. I think I've spieled out enough of what I feel about this. And I'm right there. I genuinely appreciate the quality of this film. From a production level, the look of it, the post-production, the design of the sound, the camera work and whatnot. And I do think the performances are really strong. Where the fallacies start coming in is from the scripts and the edits. And that could be, Chad, your theory could be right. They might have had to cut back because it's a COVID movie. They might not have been able to continue filming what they wanted to. So they had what they had and they had to work with it. So yeah, a lot of positives in this. And if I would recommend it to anyone, I'd recommend it to indie filmmakers out there who are playing in the horror genre, but not the slasher genre, who are playing with speculative fiction. We have Civil War coming out later this year, which is going to be in this sort of realm of what if that happened? But yeah, in the grand scheme of things, I do have to rate it low as well, because it didn't give me a sense of closure or fulfillment that I wish this movie had. So I'm also going to give it a 2 out of 5. Drones.
Could have been more. Could have been way worse. Could have been way tone deaf. It is getting flamed on online because, you know, it's woke.
You know, I didn't even consider the wokeness of it. I'd like to lower my score if I could.
Oh, yeah. We got to factor in our woke ratings.
Saw it on Shudder and I'm like, I'm not even going to look at the reviews. There's just going to be nothing of value on those.
So besides this movie being woke, which I'm only going to deduct, you know, maybe 1%, the rest of it's going to be based on merit and being a film and whether or not I was entertained and or informed or both.
To be clear, Chad is kidding about the whole woke thing. Like we are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to
deliver
be
up that so
the
sincerely.
When the,
I
when
don't
the
want anyone to think
over.
Like,
serious about
this? No, it's 5 out of 10 apple pies made with white sugar.
White cane sugar. Let's be clear
white
now.
Cane. White You're right. cane. I'm sorry. Sugar. Forgive me, TC. I, where are my manners?
You want to pray with me before we?
Let's pray. Wayne,
we should have prayed. We should have prayed before we started this review. God bless.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you. Oh
God, the redneck is strong with this one.